The building of a nation. America. It wasn't easy. Through years of hardship and struggle, she became the land of the free and the home of the brave. Men and women came to her shores seeking freedom that had never been experienced. A freedom to live according to the dictates of one's own heart, without fear of other people. God had preserved this vast wilderness as a place where the oppressed of many nations the world over could come together and be one people, one nation under God. As the colonists struggled with hardship, with daily existence, they could not have imagined what the years would bring. This land, unknown to the world, would slowly and painfully become the greatest nation that man had ever known. A nation built on the foundation of God's word. A nation whose founders looked heavenward for daily guidance. We sit here today because the sacrifices of so many. May we never forget our nation's sons and daughters who fought and died to preserve this freedom. America, through the years, has lifted up the downtrodden and defended the defenseless. Those who helped to lay the foundation upon which this greatness rests are now no longer here. We can't look to them for guidance and wisdom. As we gather this morning to observe these freedoms, our homeland is wounded. She is under attack from those who do not love this land. Will we sit in silence, or will we allow our voices to be heard? Are we willing to sacrifice as they did before us? Not thinking of self, but rather the good of all mankind. Will we turn our hearts back to God, kneeling before Him and asking Him to heal our land? Once again, we need Him to stand beside her and to guide her. And we need to pray once again, God bless America.
Could you join me in singing? God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America. bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans wide with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
We take this occasion of our freedom service each year to honor our veterans, and we honor their service, and that's what it is. Some service we recognize within the house of God, but service is service, whether it it's with the church particularly, or for our country, for our nation, for our families. And we're going to do that today. I'd like to invite every veteran that would, in just a moment, if you would come and just stand across the front, across this area behind me, and we're going to just take a moment to honor each one of you. So could I have the veterans go ahead and come? All of our veterans, would you go ahead and come this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Did Brother Wilson have to go home, or? Okay. Brother Wilson had to go home, so. Amen. Thank you, Brother David. He may need some assistance. Sister Carol, would you come today? Is this all our veterans? Okay. Appreciate these. I'm going to ask you, right before we honor you, if you'll just give us your name. I know not everybody knows everyone. So your name, the branch you served in, the era, you know, whichever era that you served in. And then, if you still remember your number, you're welcome to give that too. Even some of them have been able to do that in the past. So just your name, the branch of military that you served in, and the era that you served in. We'll begin right here.
Yeah, J.B. Brown, 173rd Airborne Army, Vietnam era.
Roger Wilmoth, U.S. Navy, VA 72.
Cleo Brock, World War II, 29th Engineers, Philippines.
Sherman Maggard, U.S. Navy, B-44-22-80, Vietnam era.
William Donahue, United States Air Force, 305th Security Police, Grenada.
Cecil Cope, U.S. Navy, Vietnam.
Rick Cruz, United States Marine Corps, Vietnam. Let me say this, I'm proud to be American. I'm more proud to be a Christian, amen.
Cecil Rose, U.S. Army Medical, combat served in Korea in 53 and 54. And I served in Korea, Japan, and worked in the hospital in Washington, D.C.
Dale Leitner, United States Marine Corps, Vietnam.
Let's give them in unison. Also remember Brother Wilson, World War II. Let's honor these. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, men. We do appreciate your service. Notice how they're also good soldiers in the Lord's army. Amen. Youth choir, come ahead. Youth choir is going to be singing, and our hearts are going to be prepared for the sharing of the word. Everything we have done today is important, but God wants to bring it together in our hearts through the sharing of his word. So let's just let God speak to us today. Amen, as the youth choir sings.
John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We had only one chance to be able to practice this song, but a lot of you know it. Please help us, because there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain. We have chains that need broken, don't we? Heart chains, mind chains, lives chains, relationship chains. Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every single chain. There's a part in this song that says, I hear the chains falling. You may not be able to literally hear it, but man, you know when there's being a heart transformation going on in your heart, in your mind, when there's freedom taking place, and when you just feel free to worship. Hallelujah, there's power in the name of Jesus. Help us.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in
Oh, if you believe that, why don't you just praise Jesus? He came to set the captive free, to open the prison doors. Amen. To bind up those that are broken, set at liberty them that are bruised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. As you're standing, would you go ahead and get your word of God this morning and turn with me to Psalms, the Psalm 9. We're going to look into the word of God this morning. Amen. I said a while ago, just as you're turning, I said that this is our America too, speaking as Christians. This is our America too. And I see this great group of young people, and I think they feel the same way. They may have been gone at youth camp. They may not be aware of everything that went on this week that's so strategic. But these young people, this is their America too. Amen. And we're concerned for our country. I want to preach this morning, and I know you will, but I just desire that hearts would be open to the Word of God. And let's hear what the Sovereign Lord would say to us from His Word today. I want to read one short verse, Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. I want to briefly just to tell you here that hell not only means the final place of burning, it includes that, but it also includes the doorway to that place or the grave. The wicked should be turned into the grave and to what's beyond, the hell beyond, and all nations shall be turned into hell, the grave, and what's beyond. All nations shall end up in the grave when they forget God. I'm going to preach with the title. It's going to be a question, and I think it's a question you've either verbalized or articulated. If not, it's been there anyway this week. And what I want to preach this morning is simply this. What's going to happen to America? What's going to happen to America? You can be seated. This question, no doubt in my mind, has become more relevant since Friday's Supreme Court ruling. How many since that ruling has thought this? What's going to happen to America? Can you believe America has come to this place? Can you believe it? It's almost unimaginable that America has come to this place. Where's she going from here? How's it going to end with America? You know, as I prepared this message, the title of two books came to me. One of those books was written 30 years ago. The other is just now on the best-selling list. The book that was written 30 years ago was written by the man of God, Leonard Ravenhill. And he wrote, and this is his title, America is Too Young to Die. The book that's on the bestseller, whatever its subject, its title, is thought-provoking. Adios, America. Goodbye, America. You're Americans. You've been paying attention. You've watched as our country's grown weaker and weaker, sickened. Did you know our nation, and I know you're going to have to stay with me, but our nation's ill. I said, our nation is ill. The things, the decisions that's being made, those are the results of illness. Our nation is sickened by her immorality, sickened by her racism, sick with hatred. I even believe she's delirious. She's delirious with sexual lust and material lust. Our nation has reached the place. It's being drained of any vestige of prosperity, any prospects of hope. And I think, along with the other questions I have given you, I think another unspoken question is this. Are we literally watching the coming end of America? Is this the beginning of the end? I know this is our freedom service, and it's occasioned by the 4th of July. And I know it's a moment and a time of celebration. And I know it's a time that we focus on the origin the origin of our nation. And I know I hazard seeming like a calamity hour, and I hazard looking like I'm pessimistic, and I hazard look like I'm going to spoil the joy of this 4th of July. But I want you to know, I don't want to talk. And I know we've had an emphasis in the service, and that was great. But I'm here right here this morning. I'm not here to talk about the origin of our nation. We know that story. I'm here to talk about the end of our nation. And I believe that's a big, huge concern. What's going to happen to America? Amen. You know what I believe? And I'll say this in summary, but I believe America is on track to join the empires of history in the graveyard of nations. Amen. We're on track, I said, to join the historical empires in the graveyard. All nations that forget God will be in hell. Listen to me, I can name a lot of them, but Egypt, with all its pharaohs and pyramids, it's in the graveyard. Assyria, with all its marching, conquering armies, it's in the graveyard. Babylon, with all its wealth and architecture, it's in the graveyard. Persia, amen, took over the then known world, it's in the graveyard of nations. Greece, the empire of Greece, it's in the graveyard of nations. Rome, mighty Rome, ironclad Rome. Rome, it's in the graveyard of nations. The Ottoman Empire, it's there too. It's in the graveyard of nations. The British Empire, in the graveyard of nations. The Soviet Empire, in the graveyard of nations. And I don't want to seem like a calamity hour, but I'm telling you, America, in all her power, in all her former glory, she is rushing to a burial in the graveyard of nations. What's going to happen to America? I want you to hear me all across this building. A scripture we share every time we share the gospel. We look at an individual, a person, and we say the wages of sin is death. Amen. How many believe that? But I'm going to tell you, if it's true for an individual, it's true for a people, and it's true for a nation. The wages of sin is death. We've reaped the wind, or we've sown the wind, and we're going to reap the whirlwind. And so this morning, this message is a warning, and this message is going to sound somber, but I want to tell you something. It's a time for somber. Looking at where our nation's at, it's a time for somber. How many know, forget the theologian, forget the backwoods, stuck in time preachers like me. Secular authorities and economics and politics and science, secular authorities are raising the cry that America cannot keep on the road she's traveling and survive. Can't do it. I'm talking to concerned believers this morning. You're concerned. I don't want to speak for you, but I think another concern of yours, and you're asking a question, has God already removed his hand of protection and blessing from America? How many is concerned about that? That he's already taken off his hand of concern or blessing and protection. You know, in my teens, I was intensely interested in end time prophecy. I didn't know any better, but I carried a Bible and a book about the end times to school, public school. We'd sit around and have these long discussions. But I want to tell you, I may not have formulated it at first, but I'd read in Ezekiel and Daniel and different places. And I want to tell you, even as a teenager, I was concerned about something. I was concerned because I didn't see America an end time prophecy. Where's she at? Go back through the visions. Look at Revelation. Look at it. Where's she at? Now, I know there's some folks that's a lot smarter than I. They've taken a little Bible phrase here and a little Bible name here, and they've twisted and you know, put it through the meat grinder of linguistics, and then they said, well, that actually is America. And I know America is addressed in general when God speaks to the nations, like the scripture I read this morning. The wicked shall be cast into hell in all nations that forget God. So I know generally America is there, but specifically as a nation, as a government, as a power, where is America when we look at end time prophecy? And how many believes the Bible has told us how the world ends? Where's she at? You know, I don't have my Bible up here. I just feel out of place. I know I got my notes in front of me. Amen. We've had the Bible removed from too many places. It needed to be right there upon that bench this week. Amen. But when you read those prophetic portions, where is America in those prophecies? Why don't we see her there? What happens to America? Now, what I'm going to do briefly is I'm going to explore some possibilities of what happens to America. I want you to ask the question, why does that matter in this Freedom Service, June 28, 2015? Why does it matter what I'm talking about as I share these things? But let me just give you some possibilities. Number one, America is not a Bible prophecy because terrorism and war decimates her. We'd be fools to think that we're through the danger of terrorism. I'm not here to scare you, but this is the reality of where we're at right now. Did you know just this week there were 3 major terrorist attacks across the world? I want to tell you a little more frightening. It's like people don't even begin to have any sense of reality and common sense. I'm not making a political statement, but when we talk about making this deal with Iran, there is no common sense to that whatsoever. Did you know this week the Iranian parliament members rose and chanted in their hall of government, chanted, "Death to America, death to America," as they voted not to let the inspectors on the nuclear facilities or the nuclear premises to examine the facilities. They were shouting, "Death to America." Did you know the brand of Islam that dominates Iran is a particular segment, radical segment, that teaches that the way to get the Muslim Messiah to come and bring about the end time Islam empire, the way to get the Muslim Messiah to come is to attack and to kill the little Satan and the big Satan, Israel and the United States. They're taught that. Kill the United States to bring the Messiah, the Muslim Messiah. And yet our government is allowing Iran to build the nuclear weapons. I guess we should expect no sense in that type of treaty, in that type of dealing, when lately there has been no common sense. Good is called evil. Evil is called good. I'm going to just tell you something. The Bible is right. The Bible says in the end, wisdom and intelligence is moral. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And men are going to increase in wisdom and say they know so much, and yet they know nothing because they've turned their hearts from God. None of these things make sense in light of what I'm sharing with you. Amen. Did you know there's not a terrorist of that religion in that part of the world who would not love to kill Americans? And yet the only friend that we have, the only nation friend that we have in that area, Israel, by all appearances, our government has turned against her and her policies. It's almost like we're signed our own death certificate, supporting the very nations who support the terrorism that is aimed at, directed at, set up on destroying America. But if that doesn't bother you, let me give it to you in an economic light. Did you know that every day terrorists are rejoicing over the weakening of America's economy? Why? Because when America's economy is weak, America doesn't have the the resources to fight. But there's something that the terrorists are rejoicing more than even America's economic weakening, and that's America's moral weakening. They see clearly what even our own government officials cannot see. And it's simply this: the more immoral we become, the less capable we are of standing up against evil. Amen. The more immoral we become, the more sapped of any fortitude, sapped of any courage, sapped of any will to make a stand against terrorism as it marches across our world. I'm not preaching fantasies. I'm not preaching made up things. I'm preaching about the world that we live in. Did you know the attacks on the World Trade Center, when those two towers came down, in economic terms, for every dollar the terrorists spent, it cost us $1 million. I said, for every dollar the terrorists spent planning that, executing that, it cost America $1 million. They know that. They know that through the attempts of security, they weaken us economically. One of the lies, and I, if I had time, I'd go into it further, but one of the lies is that terrorism only represents a small percentage of that Islam religion. And I just want to deal with that mathematically in very conservative terms. Here's what you hear. Don't you know that only a small percent of Muslims are truly radical supporters and perpetuators of terrorism? Only a small percent. I'm going to take the percent they would give you. They would say across the world, probably only 7% are Muslims who are set upon the destruction of America, supporters and perpetuators. Let's just take 7% and do the math. Even right now, there is 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. 1.6 billion. If you take only 7% of that, that's 112 million who support, that's by their math, 112 million who support terrorism, the support of it, the perpetuation of it. Amen. That's a lot of people. Amen. If you put them all together in one place, that'd be the 10th or 12th largest nation in the world. And so you hear this myth, it's just a little small percentage, but take their percentage. That's 112 million. Listen, I'm not against Muslims per se. Jesus Christ came to die for all men. He doesn't care their religion, their nationality, their skin color, their ethnicity. Jesus came to die for them. But what I'm saying, it's time to quit being ignorant about what the true scenario is. Even a small percentage is a huge number built or building themselves and focusing on the destruction of our country. How's America going to end? Perhaps by terrorism and war. I'm not even going to mention Russia rising again or China flexing her muscle in the nations of the Pacific Islands. But let me state one more time, because I believe it's so important, because of moral decay within, America has no strength to combat the evil without. Neither will any individual. If you got immoral morality within, you'll never stand against the evil that comes at you from out. I'm going to get way ahead of myself for a moment. I'm talking about the need to return to God. There's only one way we're going to be able to stand against evil, and that's to repent until things get right on the inside, individual and nation. Oh, when we get righteous on the inside, we'll have the strength to fight even the terrorism. And so I tell you this morning, yes, Islamic radicalism is a threat. However, if we will get back to Bible morality, constitutional fidelity, economic sagacity, we will not have to fear terrorism. We would be equipped to confront it and overcome it. Amen. If we just had the integrity to recognize the threat, amen, we would have something in our heart that would drive us to the place of preparation. Amen. Liberals have led the way in denying the real threat, or blaming America for the rise of radical Islamism. But the point is, amen, if America would return to God, she would be strong enough to overcome these enemies. Amen. Look at the effect. I mentioned it a while ago, but just those two towers coming down in 2011, look at that effect on America's economy and a nation. Just think when the first nuclear suitcase bomb crosses the border and is taken into the middle of Los Angeles or Houston or Dallas or Miami. Just that one suitcase bomb, nuclear bomb. Think of the destruction of America. What's going to happen to America? It could very well be coming to its demise because of terrorism. We've heard so much we're immune, but it's a real reality. What's going to happen to America? Financial ruin downgrades her. We have an in-house economist that keeps us up with reports about how bad our nation is. We should have listened because before the bubble burst in 2000, I've lost track right now in my mind, 2006 was it? The same in-house economist kept warning folks, it's coming, it's coming. Folks didn't want to believe, but the bubble burst. Things are bad. I'm going to just give you a few figures and I'm going to go on. It changes so quick, it's been billions more since I wrote it down, but our national debt is $18 trillion. Did you know that's $156,000 per taxpayer? That's around $54,000 for every one of the 321 million. If I had time, I'd try to put it into some perspective of what $18 trillion are. Let's just put it this way. It's more than any of us make. $18 trillion. Now, is that frightening? How many is frightened by $18 trillion of debt? As they used to say, buckle your seatbelts. That's not the real problem. Even though that's now over our gross national product, how much we take in a year. That's not the real, you know what the real problem is? By different estimations, the most conservative estimation is $50 trillion. And then it ranges to $112 trillion to $250 trillion of unfunded liabilities. What's unfunded liabilities? I'm not going into all the mechanics. We have someone to do that. But Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid, and all these other programs where the money is already promised, but when they go to pay it, the money's not there. You kind of experience unfunded liabilities when all the bills come in at once. And the stack of bills is here, and you look at your checkbook, and the money ain't there, but the bills are. Can you imagine, brother, $18 trillion, and let's take the most conservative, $50 trillion of unfunded liability. Think about how many of those monies have went to promote and support immorality and sin. What's going to happen with this national debt? Well, it's steadily going to cause America to head to being a third world nation. Please stick with me. Don't leave now. You'll leave here depressed. I don't want you to leave here depressed. Because how many knows with God, there's always hope. There's always help. There's always healing. America could very well become a third world nation. America will have to even keep her nose above water. Domestically, she'll have to siphon off funds from fighting the war of terrorism and being a military presence in our world. But I'm going to tell you something else we don't think of. The more in debt we become, the more there'll be a stirring of the seething pot of racism and hatred and class warfare. And they'll be looking for a scapegoat. And guess who's going to be the scapegoat? The same one that was during Rome. The scapegoat is going to be conservatives, and a large part of conservatives are believers. We're coming there. So what's going to happen to America? Maybe financial ruin. What's going to happen to America? Natural disasters demolish her. Let me just give you a few facts. Hurricanes. Did you know 8 of the 10 most destructive, catastrophic hurricanes, 8 of the 10 have happened since 9/11? When you look at the history of hurricanes, 8 of the most destructive hurricanes have happened since 9/11 in America. 7 of the worst hurricanes, Let me back up. I got in a hurry. I got distracted. Let me get this straight. 8 out of 10 have been the most expensive hurricanes, and 7 of the most destructive hurricanes have happened in the last 25 years. Did you know there has been one storm, not all of it, just a little bit of it, I think, hit Japan. Did you know there was one storm in the Pacific that was 1,400 miles wide, a hurricane? Can you imagine if a hurricane 1,400 miles wide hit the coastlands of the United States? Now, when I'm talking about this, remember the Bible warns us of natural phenomena, catastrophic natural phenomena in the last days. Let's move on from hurricanes. We're real susceptible to that here, are we? What about earthquakes? How many knows the Bible has foretold in the end times an increase of earthquakes? I'm not going to bore you with all the statistics and stuff, but I just want to tell you, if you're halfway listening to your news, you know that we're having a massive increase in the volume of earthquakes. And no, a lot of them have been trying to blame fracking, and they just prove that it's not fracking. It's really not. But did you know there's been more earthquakes in Oklahoma this year than there has in California? Ohio, earthquakes. What about these? The Los Angeles, that's the one we always hear about, the big one. Scientists, not these preacher prophecy teachers, amen. But scientists say the big one in the Los Angeles area is not a matter of if, it's simply a matter of when. And here's something else science say. An earthquake of 6.7 will target California in the soon coming years, and the percentage of chance is more than 99%. Scientists are saying the chance that big one's going to hit California is greater than 99%. Some scientists are saying just because of the increase of populations in our nation, in the cities, they say we could very soon see an earthquake with 1 million casualties. Again, this isn't some wild-eyed preacher saying this. These are scientists saying we could very well have an earthquake in the California area with 1 million casualties. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine paying for that damage? What about tsunamis? How many remembers the one that hit right after Christmas in Asia? I mean, what a devastation. Hundreds of thousands of people. Did you know we've had tsunamis in the United States? It's been a few years, but when Brother Leitner was pastoring up on the coast of Northern California, I've been there where the signs talk about how destructive that was, that tsunami that came down from Alaska. Can you imagine? And it's very likely a tsunami like hit Asia, even hits the United States. We could go on and on about tsunamis. What about volcanoes? Have you ever heard of the year without a summer? Now, we're having a year without sunshine, but have you ever heard of the year without a summer? 1816, a volcano on the Pacific realm exploded. That volcano ash, it covered the United States and Europe. Did you know in June in this area, they had snowstorms? They had frost at the 1st of August, and throughout the Midwest, crops would not even grow. It was cloudy day after day. Even wake up on a July and have to put a coat on. And same in Europe. One volcano exploding. What's going to happen if God uncorks all of them at one time? What's it going to be like? Listen, I'm not here to support deniers or anything else, but people are worried about global warming. I want to tell you, I don't think there's any amount of hairspray that's going to have an effect on whether a volcano blows or not. I don't think there's any amount of coolant in your air conditioner that's going to have anything to do whether that earth shakes or not. But I do read that one day God is going to shake this earth, and everything that can't be shaken, it will be shaken, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And I'm just telling you, it's very possible that America could come to her end through great natural calamities. What about it? Two more quick ones. America could come to the end because the rapture devastates her. You just mentioned rapture and people go into denial mode. I'm not going to re-preach the message, but I believe the Word of God teaches
that a trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them. How many still believes that? I tell you, I'd rather believe that than believe what this world's believing. You say, how could the rapture devastate America? Well, let's just use a little reason here. The nations with the greatest percentage of Christians are going to have the greatest percentage of people disappear in the rapture. Is that not true? Now, taking the statistics, America is still one of the greatest Christian nations that there are. I know you're living in doubt, and I am too. When you read the statistics that between 70 and 85% of Americans claim to be Christian, I want to tell you, first of all, this is not judgmental. This is good sense. If 70 to 85% of Americans are Christians, we wouldn't have what we had this week. And so the only conclusion is they call themselves Christians, but they're not born again. Their lives have never been changed. Amen. But let's just take the figures for just a moment. We now in the United States have 320 million people. Take 80% of that. That's 256 million. I'm not here to judge anybody. 256 million. Million Christians in America, we'd be having revival. So I'm going to cut that number in half and just say that when the rapture takes place, there'll be 128 million true believers who'll go back with Jesus when he comes. Now I want you to think just for a moment, what's going to happen when 128 million Americans are taken out of here? Doctors will be gone, nurses will be gone, subway drivers will disappear, taxi drivers will be gone, the wrecks on the highways because the drivers of the vehicle. I know that one guy is going to be taken rapture. Remember I told you I saw him in St. Louis, had his hands on the steering wheel in the middle of a traffic jam. He's speaking in tongues, tears running down. I don't know how he's driving. Tears running down his face. He's speaking in tongues and worshiping God. I'm sure someone like him is going to be going. Can you imagine all these people leaving? Amen. Pilots of airplanes, they're gone. Amen. People taking care of security, they're gone. People behind the computer screens watching the important things on our power plants. And on the governing of electricity, they're gone. Can you imagine if 128 million believers are suddenly taken out of America, being one of the largest Christians? What devastation, what ruin, what wreck. Maybe America comes to an end, because not because she's so evil, but because she has so many born-again believers. Oh, I'd love to believe that, wouldn't you? I said, I would love to believe that. And that is the opinion of some. But I want to bring it all down to this. Amen. How is America going to end? I want to tell you this morning, because immorality destroys her. I said immorality destroys her. I believe America dies in the end analysis. If America dies, it'll be death by suicide. It'll be death having known the truth. She's turned against it. We've had acceptance of same-sex marriage. We've had abortion for decades. We've had every type of immorality. And all we've been doing in acceptance of this is committing suicide as a nation, setting ourselves on course to the destruction and judgment of God. I'm telling you, if America dies, it'll be because of her adulteries, her fornications, amen, her perversions, her wickedness. TV has led the way in prime time in promoting ever immorality that the Bible condemns. And I just want to tell you, the majority of primetime television and programming could have been filmed and produced in Sodom and Gomorrah. Make no mistake about it. Amen. America will die by moral suicide. Amen. I know there's cultural and social reasons other nations have died, but the main reason that trumps every other reason, the main influence has been a degradation of morals, and specifically when there was an embracing of homosexuality from Sodom to Greece to Rome that signed the death certificate of that nation. Amen. Righteousness will exalt a nation, but sin will take get down. Amen. Death by suicide. Amen. One of the biggest hypocrisies of liberalism is to say it's all about the children. It's all about the children. I value children. I think they ought to be treated right. But I'm tired of hearing them say it's all about the children. It's all about the children. Why, the whole time they support abortion that has killed millions. I said millions of children. And make no mistake, in the 70s and in the 80s, it was America's acceptance of abortion that opened the door and let the filth in that we've been dealing with this week. Why? Because abortion said there's no value to the individual life. There's no value to a human being. And God, not God, but another person can decide the life or death of a human being when they put themselves in the place of God to make those kind of judgments. They've made every judgment wrong since then. In every case, they have chosen immorality and not morality. And it's the immoral that has corrupted and corroded and is destroying our nation. When I was young, I heard it preach. I'm going to be done in just a few minutes. And if you think it's getting long, just be thankful of everything I've cut out. But even when I was young, by the way, I'm going to catch my breath for just a second, okay? Listen to me. I'm talking to us as a church and a people. And Brother Leitner can vouch to this. When I was young, my pastor's wife, she could teach on prophecies. And this is in the late 60s, maybe the early 70s. She was teaching on prophecy. She said, there'll be a day when the homosexuals will march through our streets, take over our governments, protest until they get their way. They'll be militant. It's happened. We've seen it. Amen. It's happening all around. But I heard even back then, preachers preach and say, if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, maybe it was, but can anyone here lift a hand this morning and say, I really don't think America is as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah was? Can you really lift a hand and say America is really not as bad? I mean, think about it. Think about it. See, this is the very thing that they're trying to get rid of, and that is the awareness of a holy God who has pure eyes and to look upon evil, a holy God who will judge sin. You've been here week after week. I've preached on grace through Jesus Christ. We don't have to suffer that judgment. But I want to tell you, just because you change your belief and your philosophy doesn't mean you've gotten rid of a God who is holy and holds us humans accountable to fulfill his word. Oh, hallelujah. How many will stick with me for just a few more minutes? Amen. I want to ask you something else. Can you imagine a world without America? Can you imagine a world without the United States? You say it can't ever happen. How many's ever thought? I mean, just be honest. Through this message, you've thought that he's preaching about America coming to an end, but it'll never happen. Don't lift a hand, but some of you might have thought that. I'm going to tell you something. I'm trying to get wound back up. Somebody warn me. Did you know the same type of prophets went through the land of Israel when God had already said, if you don't straighten up, if you don't get rid of your sin and your idolatry and you're killing children through children's sacrifice, I'm going to destroy you. You're going to be taken in bondage. I'll bring you down as a nation. You'll cease to be a nation. And false prophets went through the land and said, God will never destroy Israel because it's his own particular nation. And these are his people. And true prophets say, God's going to destroy Jerusalem. He's going to tear down Jerusalem in the temple. And the false prophet said, God will never do it. He'll never do it. That's his city and that's his temple. And God, and the true prophet said, it's all based on whether you're going to be moral or immoral, righteous or unrighteous. And even though the false prophet said it wouldn't happen, it happened. I said it happened because
because God takes sin seriously. Why? It's the sin that's doing the destroying. Hallelujah. But what would the world be without the United States? Did you know right now the world's currency will soon not be the dollar? The world's tallest building is now in Dubai. The world's richest person is a Mexican. The world's largest traded company is Chinese. The world's biggest plane has been built in Russia. The world's leading refinery is in India. The world's largest factory is in China. The world's greatest city, if it's not already, will soon be Hong Kong. I'm not against any of those nations, but I'm just showing you America has fallen back, back, back. Even the economists have downgraded her. I'm not against America. I love America, but somebody, and I know there's many, but somebody has to make the stand and preach the truth and the reality. Maybe not in the pulpit of the church, but in the halls of school, there at college, there at work. Somebody has to tell the truth. Amen. The whole philosophy of our world is eat, drink, and be merry. Forget the debt. Forget the terrorism. Forget the perversion. Just eat, drink, and be merry. And the Bible says it's that frame of mind that will lead to unpreparedness. I want to be ready, don't you? I said I want to be ready. And I'm going to do this briefly, but I want you to hear me. This is the message. I preached all that to preach this, and it's just going to take a few minutes. So what? Everything I've said, everything I've preached, so what? Because number one, here's the so what. You and I do not have to be a casualty in the death of America. I don't want to see America die, but I don't have to be a casualty in the death of America. Amen. Somebody, and I don't understand the rhetoric, but somebody said that America's going to hell in a handbasket. Amen. Whatever, wherever that came from, I agree with it. America's going to hell in a handbasket. But I want to tell you, that may be true, but you don't have to be in the basket. Not a one of these young people. America's going to hell in a handbasket, but not a one of you has to be in the basket. Oh, hallelujah. I know this cultural war has swept untold millions of even Christians into a deception where they embrace sin and perversion to their own destruction. But when America's on fire, you don't have to be on fire. When America's being destroyed, you can be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. How many's glad we don't have to be a part? We embrace the principles of America's freedom, but we do not embrace the perversions of America's freedom. I want to tell you how you can know whether you're not in the basket when, even though you're American, your culture is not that culture. You're different. If you're no different than mainstream America in your thinking, your values, your actions, then you're a part of that that's going to be destroyed. Secondly, I told you to be quick. Secondly, so what? We can pray for and believe in another awakening. I want to tell you, America's been in bad shape before. Sometimes we paint a rosy picture, and I'm not trying to tear down anybody's beliefs or perceptions. We think America, when she got started, everybody was a Puritan. Everybody was a worshiper of God. Everybody did right. Did you know even in New England, where they were the strongest, probably only about 50% were Puritans. And the big part of the other percentage were adventuresome, lazy gentry, gentlemen, adventurers, entrepreneurs, and a whole bunch of riffraff running from the law. And so even in the early 1700s of our nation, brothers, amen, America wasn't as rosy as we may think. Did you know there was a time when every fifth house in a village was a gin house and people were getting drunk? I'm so excited what's happening with our young people. But in the early 1700s, people would note, newspaper men, preachers would note how rebellious young people had come. They were going out at nights. They were carousing. They were being wicked. They wanted nothing to do with the church. Some churches made a mistake and compromised. They said, if your parents are saved, we'll accept you in the church. I don't have time to get in that history. I'm just telling you, in that time, there was a major rebellion of young people. America was dark. Yes, we had those Puritans, but we had all kinds of wickedness and perversion. But some men of God got to preaching the Bible, and some saints of God got to praying. And in the early 1700s, God shook America with a great awakening. I said a great awakening. Suddenly, young people that had been carousing, they were coming over to the pastor's house after church on Sunday night and said, Pastor, we didn't get enough at church. Can we have a Bible study? Can we have a prayer meeting? Hallelujah. And by the way, from my knowledge of history, every great revival in large part was because young people got hungry. They got thirsty. I'm telling you, things were bad, but God shook our nation awake, and there was a revival that swept our land and on into Europe, and people were saved by the thousands. I said, by the thousands. I want to tell you, amen, all is not dark. All is not hopeless. As long as the church is still here, as long as there's people that still know their God, as long as there's people who still know how to pray, I'll tell you what we can do. We can pray. We can pray. We can pray. I said, we can pray until the power comes down. God shakes us awake. I'm telling you what we need. I'm not against all of that. I don't have time to explain it. But what we need isn't another political boycott or just another Christian candidate. We need revival. I said, we need revival. And I want to tell you something. Revival's not going to start in the Hall of Congress. Revival's not going to start in the building of the Supreme Court. Revival's not going to start on Main Street or upon Wall Street. I'll tell you, there's only one place revival could start, and that's amongst the people of God. Does anyone have something stirring in your heart that says, I want to see an awakening? I don't want America to be destroyed. I want to see an awakening. Oh, hallelujah. Last of all, let me make one note before I move on. Please remember Nineveh. God told through Jonah, I'm going to destroy you. You're so wicked. They didn't even really know about God. Very little about God, Brother Brock, did Nineveh know. Hundreds of thousands. And God said, I'm going to destroy you. But from the king on down, they begin to repent and say, God, forgive us. And God said, Jonah, I got another message to take to Nineveh. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to show mercy. I only know the message right now may be God's going to destroy America. But I believe if people would call upon God, oh, we get another message. My people have repented. My people have called. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. It's time. If we ever were the church, it's a time in which we live in. Hallelujah. I know it's dark out there, but we're supposed to be the light. Oh, come on now. Amen. It's a dark, but we're to hold forth the word of light. How many still believes we are the salt of the earth? But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith it should be salted, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trod under. We're still the salt. We're still the light. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light therefore shine among men, that they may see your good works. Oh, hallelujah. I'm out of time. Last of all, however bad it gets, we must remember we have a dual citizenship. Brother David, I'm an American. First of all, I'm one of God's children. America's my home country, kind of. Because my real home country is a place that's called heaven. America may get so bad, we're kind of ashamed. I'm American. I'm from America. It may come to that. But we never have to be ashamed to say, my citizenship's in heaven. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Amen. If you're here this morning, you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've not yet been born again. You're only a citizen of one country, America. And if it's destroyed, you'll be destroyed. Oh, but if you've been born again, everyone that's born again ought to be shouting, I've got a citizenship in heaven. Amen. My wife was born in the Philippines, and being born there, her parents had to decide whether her citizenship was going to be in the Philippines or in the United States. I've heard of missionary children this week born in another country, and in that country they wait till you're 18 where you can make the decision yourself. Do you want your citizenship to be in that country, or do you want it to be in the United States? I'm going to tell you, I'm not happy about it, but if it comes down to making a decision, is my citizenship just going to be in America, or is my citizenship going to be in heaven? I tell you what I'm going to choose. I want to be a citizen of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. What am I trying to tell you? This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you feel that in your heart, you'll weather the storm. Music, would you come? But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Peter, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, in which the heavens are being on fire shall be destroyed, and the elements melt with fervent heat, like the things I describe. But look at verse 13. Nevertheless, oh, come on, say it across the building. It's bad, but what? Nevertheless, come on. America's corrupt, but what? Nevertheless, threatened by economic destruction. Nevertheless, threatened by hurricanes and tsunamis and storms, but wickedness on every hand, but nevertheless, we got dual citizenship. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm tired of the perversion. I'm tired of the darkness. I'm tired of the wickedness. I'm tired of the killing. I'm tired of the hatred. But we are of a country where we're going to dwell in righteousness and purity and holiness throughout the ages. Oh, how hallelujah, let's praise him across the building. Oh, hallelujah, what's going to happen to America? I've told you, but I've closed. And what's going to happen to the saint of God? When this world's on fire, we'll be with him. Hallelujah. Someone obey God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's continue to wait on him. Would you stand across the building? If God's prompting your heart with the interpretation, obey him. Obey him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever else God is doing right now, I'm going to tell you what's happening. It's like a tuning fork. You sound that tuning fork,
whatever string in this place, it's in the same note. It'll start sounding. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit was speaking. What you heard is a sounding out of a heart that's in tune to what is being preached. I think it's been all across this building, from our young people across this building. Something in your heart, as the word of God went forth, you have felt something respond. Hallelujah. We're going to wait just another moment. Amen. Amen. If God wants to use you, you be a willing vessel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Let's seek him across. Would you praise him? We're going to bring this to a close. There's some folks here. You don't want to be in that group that suffers destruction. You want to be in those, in that group with those that he's going to deliver. Let me just tell you this as I close. I was driving down Route 4. I don't remember it being there already. Perhaps it was. I think they put it out for the 4th of July celebration in red and white. A sign in somebody's front yard. God bless America. You know what I thought? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be a pessimist. But as I read that sign, I had one question. This is just immediately after I heard the news on Friday. I said, how can he? I take nothing from that guy's celebration. God bless America. How, we sang it today, God bless America. I have a question, church, listen to me. How can he? Wave a hand if you're still hearing me this morning. Listen, what I'm about to say, I'm not cursing, okay? Because used in this way, the word damn is used as condemn or judge. But in a political climate, when a liberation theologist got in the pulpit after 9/11 and shouted, and it's been recorded and played over and over, he shouted, not God bless America. And I'm not using this as a cuss word. I'm using it literally. He said, God damn America. God judge America. God damn America. I want to tell you, I disagree with his political views. His reasoning is wrong. His conclusions are wrong. His theology is wrong. But he's got one thing right. At some point, it's going to change from God bless America to God damn America. God condemn America. God judge America. If you get upset for the way I expressed that, you've got upset by the wrong thing today. But what is true? Do you have that last slide, brother? What is true for our nation? We're going to have to decide. You're going to have to fill in the blank as the people of God. Is it going to be God bless America? Or is it going to be God judge America? We're going to decide. But listen to me. I'm closing. Listen to me. It's the same with every individual. Take America off and put your name there. I'm going to tell you one thing. He cannot bless sin. He cannot bless rebellion. He cannot bless a heart turned against him. But any heart that will come to him and say, I have sinned. I have fallen short of what God expects. I'm unrighteous. I'm unworthy. But Jesus died for my sins. Anybody that comes to him in that type of repentance, you can move from the category of God judge to the category of God bless.
And when this world's on fire, each individual has to decide which category. Amen. Look, I feel this in my heart. I feel this in my heart. There's folks here this morning. Amen. Amen. You want to get right with God. I don't have time to put it any other way. Amen. Things aren't right between you and the Maker. They're not right between you and the Creator. They're not right between you. You're tired of the load of sin. You're tired of the guilt. You're tired of the hopelessness. You're tired of the... I want to tell you, if that's you, don't wait on anything else. We use this step up here as an altar. I promise you, if you'll come down on these aisles and you'll kneel down, there'll be folks here to pray with you. But I'm telling you, you can change categories this morning. You don't have to be in that category that's going to be judged and suffer. You can be in the category that's in the presence of God. Do you need God this morning? I want you to come right now. Saints, I want you to pray all over the building. You're here. You don't have God. You want God in your life. I want you to come right now. Thank God for these young men that are coming. But there's others this morning. You need God. You came in here. Your life is a mess. Your life is a mess. I'm not going to tell you come to Jesus and He'll fix your every problem. But I'll tell you, if you'll come to Jesus, He'll give you hope. He'll help you. He'll give you healing. And He'll give you a reality of eternal life. When the world's on fire, you can be in His presence. Are you here? You need Jesus. You know He's talking to you. It goes way beyond emotion. Amen. You know He's talking to you. Amen. You need Jesus. Would you come right now? Put your arguments aside. They've never held water anyway. You know that. That they were just a smoke screen to keep from surrendering to God. Amen. You've had no other help. You've turned to other sources. It's always been the same. There's been no help here. But I'm telling you, whosoever shall humble himself before Jesus Christ, amen, he'll be exalted. He'll be exalted. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's a place right here. Amen. Can we have some ladies come this morning? There's others. You can stand or kneel as you come. It doesn't matter. Amen. You're here. You need Jesus. Would you join these that are coming? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Would you come? Hallelujah. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Come on, you that have come. Just turn your heart to God. Jesus, I believe you died to save me. I believe you died to give me hope in a hopeless situation. Come on, there's others here. You need Jesus. Would you come right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As these are coming and praying, church, I want to invite you right now. If you want to see a great awakening in our country, don't give up hope. Amen. Amen. We can call on God. Church, if you want to see God send an awakening, a revival to our nation, would you come and fill these altars? Amen. Lunch can wait. The lines are going to be long anyway. Just come and pray and say, oh Lord, we need you. Amen. Call upon God. You that have come, call upon God. Save me, God. Forgive me of my sins. I turn my life to you. I give you my heart. Hallelujah. Would you come, church? Gather in. Let's pray. Gather in. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see an awakening. I want to see awakening. It's not too late. You're here and you need the Lord. Amen. Fill these altars. There's places, there's spaces left. Amen. You need Jesus. Would you come and pray? There'll be folks praying with you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, young people, as you've done all week, just bind together and pray. Hallelujah. 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 Young people, bind together and pray. Believe the Lord together. Oh, come on, if you've come, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you say you're sorry, He'll forgive you. He'll take away your guilt. Oh, come on, church, let's pray. We need more prayer warriors. Amen. Gather in here. Let's pray. Let's believe the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. The fear of tomorrow. Oh, I'm free from the guilt of my past. He'll forgive your past. He'll forgive your past. He'll forgive your past. Oh, come on, saints, pray. Pray. Amen. Pray, saints. Pray, saints. Oh. Oh, hallelujah. I'm free from the from the guilt. He'll take away your guilt this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's seek the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek the Lord this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, seek Him. Call upon His name. Let's deal with things in the altar this morning. God, I need You. Lord, I need You. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm free. Hallelujah.
I'm free. Oh, God.
Send an awakening, Lord. Send an awakening, Lord.
I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I'm trading my shackles for a glorious soul.
Praise the Lord.